What we do here is look at a broader sugya, the different opinions that all sorts of different thinkers say about one thing or another thing. I thought today we would try something interesting, a little different. I want to look at five statements from Rabbi Chanina, and five statements from Rabbi Chanina and Shas, and they all relate to the question of hashgacha and responsibility and the like, very basic questions. It's very interesting. I only just noticed this very recently, that Rabbi Chanina seems to talk about this so much. You don't see Rabbi Chanina that much in general. Try to understand, I think, some very basic points, maybe leave off with some very basic questions also in terms of this important issue. So we're gonna learn Rabbi Chanina Shita, or try to, B'siyata Dishmai today. Maybe what we'll do first is we'll briefly look at these five statements, and then we'll go back and try to put them together and see if we can figure out what they mean. The first statement, Gemara Chulin, for those of you, if anyone's learning Chulin here, from the first parak, Vamar Rabbi Chanina Ein Adam Nokeif Etzba'u Milamata, Ela Im Kein Machrizin Alav Milamala. Shenamar Me Hashem Itzadei Gaver Konanu Adam Mayavin Darko. So Rabbi Chanina says that everything in the world that happens, it's because there was a Hachraza Milamala. Sounds like, maybe it's not so clear as we'll see in a moment, but it sounds like what he's getting at is a very robust perspective on God's providence in the world, such that even something as small as stubbing your toe is a reflection of God's decree. Okay. Let's go on to the next one. Gemara in Bava Basra, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz metzinim upachim. It's also in Ksubis. Shenem martzinim pachim b'derach ikesh, shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. So everything is in Hashem's hands except for tzinim upachim, hot and cold. What exactly does this mean? So, obviously it seems to be referring to the need to take precautions. Make sure that if it's cold outside and you go outside, you wear your coat so you don't get sick, as your mother will remind you. And that these things, like getting sick when you go out in a cold, is not bidei shamayim. It's in a person's control. As we'll see shortly, the scope of Rabbi Chanina's statement is the subject of Machlokas Rishonim. I'll just read you Rashi for now. Rashi says, Tzinim upachim kor v'chom bidei shamayim im bayim pur'anios al ha'adam gzeres ha'melechu. In other words, normally, hakol bidei shamayim means if you experience pur'anios, it's gzeres ha'melech. Maybe like he said in the first statement, chutz mitzinim upachim shepa'amim shebayim b'mshia. So there are some things that are bayim b'mshia, like tzinim upachim. If you go outside and it's 30 degrees and you don't wear a coat and you catch a cold, that's pshia. It's not gzeras hamelech. That's the way Rashi sounds like he's reading it. Okay. Number three. Another statement from Rabbi Chanina. Einon movado. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Afilu lidvar kshafim. Einon movado, there's nothing besides God. Nothing besides God. And what does that include? Even kshafim, even magic, sorcery. Hahu, and we have a story that illustrates this. Hahi isisa dehavis kamehadra lemishkal afra mituse kare drebi chanina. There was a sorcerer who was trying to perform some type of witchcraft or magic, harm Rabbi Chanina in some way. And he taunts her. He's not afraid. Amr la, imistayas zili avidi. Ein od milvado, ksiv, I'm not scared of you. Ein od milvado. Eini, from Rabbi Yochanan, lama nikra shmank shafim, shemachashfin pamal yashamala. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that the word kishif indicates that they have the ability to contravene the divine will? Again, here too, the meaning of that statement and even the girsa is the subject of a machlokas rishonim. But pashup shat is, at least the way Rashi sounds like, is they could thwart the divine plan, meaning, say, someone almost out, you know, someone who should have lived, they could kill them. So, Shani Rabbi Chanina de Nafish Chusei. Rabbi Chanina is different. He has a great merit. Simple reading over here. We'll talk about Rabbi Chaim's reading in a moment, but the simple reading is he was a big tzaddik, so he didn't have to worry. He would merit divine protection for maybe a normal person who is low Nafish Chusei. They would have to worry. But Rabbi Chanina didn't have to worry. But this is a reflection of Ein Od Milvado. So how does that work? Is there a difference, for example, between Rabbi Chanina's actions because there was Kishuf? What if it was non-magical or spiritual danger, like guns or something like that? Would we apply the same principle? Ein od milvado ksiv, you're protected, or no? Is it because it's kishuf? Okay, something to think about. But once again, we have another statement of Rabbi Chanina, again, on the same theme, right? The theme here is that there's nothing besides God. Even things that seem to be against God aren't really besides God. And accordingly, at least if you're someone like Rabbi Chanina, therefore you need not worry about this. So on the one hand, maybe precaution is sometimes necessary, sometimes precaution isn't necessary. What's the difference? Certainly perhaps a reflection of that first theme in the first statement about the robust hashgacha. The next statement, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mir shamayim. Shenamar, v'ata Yisrael masham elokecha shal meimach, kiyim lira. This statement of Rabbi Chanina, of course, perhaps the most famous of all five of these, is the basis of all of our avodas Hashem. All of our avodas Hashem is rooted in our having bechira chafshis, and therefore, if it were the case that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controlled our decisions, whether we do right or wrong, we would surely not be responsible. There would be no point in mitzvos, in Tzchar V'Onesh, and the like. So this statement of Rabbi Chanina's fourth statement is certainly the basis of all of Avodas Hashem. And it sounds like what he's saying is, despite the expansive role that he's placed in terms of Hashkacha, that isn't limited to the realm of Yir Shamayim, of moral decisions and the like. Of course, it's parallel to Rabbi Chanina's language with respect to Tzinim U'Pachim, right? It sounds like he's saying there are two exceptions to Hakol Bidei Shamayim. Tzinim U'Pachim, basic precautions, and Yir Shamayim, which is very broad, all moral decisions. And finally, statement number five of Rabbi Chanina, perhaps the most difficult to understand, and this sort of limits what he's just said. So he just told us that you have free will with respect to questions of Yir Shamayim. Those aren't Bidei Shamayim. But here we're going to see a statement from Rabbi Chanina where he seems to say that they are, to some degree at least. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Eliyahu etiach dvarim klape ma'ala, shenemar v'ata sebosa, God, Eliyahu accused God. He almost speaks with a chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he blames HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the bad behavior of the Jewish people at his time. Ata, you, God, have turned their hearts astray. You've turned their hearts backwards. It's your fault that they're behaving this way. The way Rabbi Elazar puts it sounds like perhaps it was inappropriate for Eliyahu to say this. This is chutzpah. But Vamar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Minan shechazer Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'hodel Eliyahu, but Eliyahu Hakadosh Baruch Hu tak agreed. Dechsev avsher her esi. I did bad to them. I wronged them. And now we finally have the statement for Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yisrael Chama, bi Rabbi Chanina. Ilmalei shalosh mikraus halalu nismotetu raglayhem shel sonei Yisrael. So were it not for these psukim that we're about to quote, the feet of Israel's enemies, meaning today the Jewish people themselves, would have slipped, right? We would have slipped. And what are they? Chad, dechsev asher ha'eti, the pasuk we just cited, in which God admits to doing bad to the Jewish people, controlling their hearts. V'chad dechsev hinei kechomer biyad ha'yotzer, kenatem biyadi beis Yisrael. Number two is, we are like Chomer Biyad HaYotzer. It's very interesting that we use that metaphor so frequently in the davening on Yom Kippur in light of the way the Gemara is using it. And finally, V'chad Dechsev V'hasirosi Es Lev Ha'evin Mibsarchem V'nasati Lachem Lev Basar, which implies, I guess, to some degree that we have a Lev Ha'evin. Rav Papa Amar Mehacha So what's going on in this statement? It does actually sound like a significant limitation of Bechira. The Rambam cites these psukim in Parak Vav of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam over there is discussing his famous theory that though generally speaking people have free will, sometimes a person can sin in such an egregious manner that his freedom is taken away so that he could be punished. Obviously, he's not punished for the things that he didn't commit freely. And the Rambam classically uses the example of Paro to explain this. That's what the Psukim refer to when they discuss the hardening of Paro's heart. Interestingly, though, the Rambam states that this isn't true just with respect to a single individual. It's sometimes true with respect to an entire generation. And the Rambam, citing these psukim, notes it's true with respect to the generation of Eliyahu. It's true with the generation of Yishayahu. Hashmein lev ha'amazev, oznav hachbad. Right at the during Yishayahu's first prophecy in Parak Vav, and we'll see in a moment that Reb Tzadok actually has a very different understanding of this Gemara. That on some level it would seem that free will isn't operative. And we're gonna try to understand that. So now that we have these five statements of Rabbi Chanina, let's go back again, all circling on one theme. I haven't explained them yet; just pointed them out and try to have a better understanding. Yeah.
Can I just repeat again why Brachos Laman Aleph implies? What is that saying? Why?
Sounds like he's saying that when certain people sinned, at the very least, it's not really their fault because God caused them to sin, right? Like the pasuk says, Eliyahu says to God, "Vata seboses libam achoranis." You turned their heart backwards, and the Gemara continues and says, Eliyahu was taka, right? He agreed to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Vasher ha'ati." I did bad to them, and we have these further psukim of that indicate this. Kachomer bi'at ha'yotzer, right? We're like puppets. We're like clay in the hands of a potter. Right, you didn't have to understand Kechomer Biyad HaYotzer. You could have understood it like the song everybody likes to sing, that maybe it's just in the realm of whether or not we succeed in our plans. But the context of the Gemara over here sounds like it's in the realm of a free will. Okay. So let's go back to source number one, and now let's read again, go through each of these five sources and try to analyze them a little further. So first of all, we have the first statement, Ein Adam Nokef Etzbo Milamata, Elim Ken Machrizon Alav Milamala. Does that actually imply a robust form of providence? As I'm sure you know, and maybe we'll discuss this another time, there is somewhat of a machlokas Rishonim and Achronim in terms of the exact scope of Hashgacha. So the truth is, it's not doesn't have to be interpreted that way. First of all, it actually says machrizin. It doesn't say that everything happens, everything that happens on this world is hashgacha. It says that before a person stubs his toes, there's an hachraza milamala, which might imply that God causes him to stub his toe, but it might just simply say that God announces in advance that that's going to happen. It's interesting, actually, if you look at the Meiri on this Gemara in Chulin, the Meiri says, what's the lesson of this Gemara? The lesson of this Gemara, I'll read it to you, I didn't give it to you. Miso de HaTorah hu, lios ha'adam is bonin umakir shekol mashiera lo me'eze min shel tsara hakol b'mishpat mitzad onesh mishpate yashro yisbarach. In other words, this is coming to tell us that there's justice. This is something that the Rambam emphasizes, by the way. The Rambam, even though he does seem to, in Mar Nevuchim, say that there's more hashgacha for tzaddikim, chassidim, less hashgacha for someone who's an average person, but there's always 100% mishpat. In other words, even if there's such a thing as teva, Hashem will never allow someone to suffer if it's undeserved. That's actually the lesson of this Gemara, according to the Meiri. But I think actually another, maybe more important reason to question if this Gemara is telling us exactly a mahalich about hashgacha in a clear and conclusive way, is actually the context, right? It says over here, Ve'amra Bichanina. This Gemara is stated right after the other statement of Rabbi Chanina, which is statement number 3, Einod Malvado. I wrote it here from Sanhedrin, because that's what came up first in the search. But actually, it's also the Gemara in Chulin. The same memra appears in both places. And right after Rabbi Chanina says this Ein Od Milvado is when he says Ein Adam Nokef. Now, why is that significant? So let's try to understand this idea, again, of source number 3, of Ein Od Milvado. So there's an obvious question, which is, why does Rabbi Chanina not have to worry? Right, even someone who has a lot of zechuyos, nafish zechusei, shouldn't be somech al hanes, presumably. So what exactly does it mean? And doesn't everybody agree to the concept of ein od milvado? Now, there's ein od milvado, it's a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, right? What does it mean that ein od milvado, therefore Rabbi Chanina said, you don't have to worry about kishuf, and then we say, well, Rabbi Yochanan says, you do have to worry about it. No, Rabbi Chanina says, you don't, nefesh chusei, what's going on here? So the Nefesh HaChaim very famously explains this Gemara as follows. That ein od milvado means that actually, in reality, there is, in a sense, nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though there are forces that seem to contradict this, forces in nature, like Rishayim, forces in the supernatural, like Kishuf, that seem to contradict this. In reality, there's nothing besides him. And not only that, but, says the Nefesh HaChaim, if a person can internalize that reality, that there's nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Ein Od Milvado, then in fact, these other seeming forces will have no power or effect to harm him. Of course, that's a very extraordinary madrega. And that's what's meant when the Gemara says, Shani Rabbi Chanina D'Nafesh Chusei, that he is someone who tapped into this reality of Ein Od Milvado. He was someone who truly believed that there's nothing besides him. There's nothing besides God. The things that seem like they're besides God are in fact a illusion. Really, Ein Od Milvado. And if you could believe that, then Kishuf can have no power against you. And the Nefesh Chaim actually says it's not just Kishuf. One might have said, well, maybe this is only true with respect to magic, which is sort of a spiritual force that could be used for harm. But any force. There's the famous skula that the Nefesh Chaim says in this context, that if a person is in danger and feels that they're in trouble, somebody's going to hurt them, they should focus all of their mental energy in terms of believing the concept of Ein Od Milvado, and they won't be harmed. There are very famous stories about the Brisker Rav when he was escaping the Nazis during World War II, and there was a very dangerous wagon trip that was basically, I think, 3 days. It was when the Brisker Rav, I think, was trying to escape with one of his sons from Warsaw towards Vilna. Warsaw was occupied by the Nazis. Vilna, due to some type of arrangement with the Lithuanian government, was more of a free city. He had to cross the border. This was very dangerous. And for those 3 days on the wagon, miraculously, almost nothing happened. Just as they were about to cross the border, some Nazis came and started endangering them. And then they walked away. And Brisker Rav explained that was because the whole 3 days he was absolutely focused on Ein Od Milvado, and that's why they were saved. At that last moment, when they were about to cross the border, he let his guard down because he thought that they were safe. And then they got into trouble, and then he once again refocused. Now that's the idea of Ein Od Milvado according to the Nefesh HaChaim. So what does this have to do with the other statement of Rabbi Chanina? So maybe something to think about, especially since the Gemara puts the two together. Maybe the first statement of, or actually it's the second statement of Rabbi Chanina, that reflects all-encompassing hashgacha, reflects this deeper, truer reality of Ein Od Milvado, but that's also not necessarily the reality that everybody else lives in or experiences. For example, the way the Gemara indicates, especially if understood like the Nefesh Chaim, is that someone who isn't like Rabbi Chanina, who hasn't tapped into that deeper reality and fully internalized the value of Ein Od Milvado, so it would be inappropriate for them to not take precautions against Kishuf. In other words, let's say it a little differently, right? Rabbi Yochanan knew of Ein Od Milvado, and so did everyone else. Everyone knows Ein Od Milvado. It's a song. Also a pasuk. So everybody knows Ein Od Milvado, but the point that I think the Nefesh Chaim is saying is that knowing intellectually Ein Od Milvado is very different than living Ein Od Milvado. Someone who, like Rabbi Chanina, lives Ein Od Milvado, has absolutely internalized that value, will be protected from those forces. Someone who perhaps is aware of the concept of Ein Od Milvado and on some level believes in Ein Od Milvado, but doesn't really appreciate it, will not. And living it and knowing it is very different. Somebody, Lamasho, will not study for his midterm, and then they fail the midterm because they didn't study. And they say, no. Everything is Ashkach, everything is Ratzon Hashem, and that's what Hashem wants. And then they go ahead, and comes the final, and they decide, maybe I should study. So they study for their final, and remarkably, they did very well. They say, my hard work really paid off. So obviously, if they believe the second statement, they don't believe the first statement. They might have. It's true in some way. Their first statement was true, and their second statement was true. Their first statement was, it's Ratzon Hashem, and the second statement was, I worked hard and I got a good grade. But they're not being honest with themselves. They're attributing their failures to God's will, and they're attributing their success to their hard work. And such a person is not really living in the world of Einod Milvado. Einod Milvado, again, it's clear from the Gemara, is an extraordinary madrega that allows one to tap into a certain reality if they really, really believe it. But otherwise, then they're not taking precautions is negligence. So one wonders, then, if that other statement of Rabbi Hanina about in Adam Nokef Etzbao Milamata, Elim Ken Machrizin Alav Milamala, relates to his other statement. In fact, as I said, the Gemara puts them right next to each other. Meaning to say that it reflects that Ein Od Milvado perspective, in which case someone who's not on that madrega perhaps has to act differently. This, of course, brings us to the statement number two of Rabbi Hanina, Kol B'dei Shamayim Chutz Mi'ir Shamayim. So what exactly does that statement mean? We mentioned Rashi's pshat. There's an interesting discussion, interesting debate, actually, between, let's say, we could call it Tosos and Rabbeinu Bachya in the Chovos Al Vavos. Tosos is in Ksubis, and Rabbeinu Bachya in the Chovos Al Vavos about how far to go with that statement. Tosos says, if you want to take a look, it's Lamed Amud Aleph, Ksubos, Tosos, I didn't put it here, but if you look later, Kol B'dei Shamayim, Tosos asks the Shaila, we say liolam al yamid atz adam b'makom sakana ama yachal lishmor atzmo min apur anus v'chein kir natoi da'aser lavar tachtav. So what do you mean chutz mi tzinim upachem? It's only tzinim upachem. As Tosfos says, there's all sorts of other precautions that a person should take. It's not just like going out, making sure to wear a jacket when it's cold outside. Don't. It's aser lamod b'makom sakana. So Tosfos answers that, in fact, you're right. Tzinim upachem isn't limited to tzinim upachem per se. It's that any type of pshia, right? Min ha-pshia yachol lishmor atzmo, d'havadai shebiyad ulhamis atzmo. Right? A person could commit suicide. Right? What does that mean, a person could commit suicide? In other words, even though, generally speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's Meimisu Machaya, but you could also commit suicide. Avol kshemevina love min hashemayim ba'ones iyashal olishmor. Avol tzinim upachim liolam al yavo alav ba'ones imro telizar. In other words, there are certain types of things where you can protect yourself from Shia, but sometimes you can't. A person might be driving safely, and they're wearing their seatbelt, and they're obeying the speed limit, and Rachman al-Etzlan, they're hit by a drunk driver or something. They didn't do anything wrong. It's ones. So you could be shomer atzma and apshia. You can't be shomer atzma and ones. When it comes to tzinim upachim, then the meaning of the Gemara is that you could always, it's always biyadul izayir. So essentially, according to Tosfos, what this Gemara is telling us is a person should take precautions and be careful. Sometimes things will come ba'ones. Certain types of things, you could always protect yourself. Rebbe Chanan in the Kobetz Ma'amarim says that lule divrei Tosfos, I would have learned otherwise. De'en shum chiluk bein atzmo la'acher. De'kemo she'en b'yicholto laharog adam acher. Elim kein nigzar al ploni she'eh hareg. Hachanami ein b'yadu lahamis es atzmo. Im lo nigzar alav shiyeh hareg. You can't kill someone else unless they're supposed to die. The Rebbe Chanan takes that for granted, and that is the view of many Rishonim. Pasuk in Yechezkel implies this. It's the view of the Ramban and others. Again, the statement of the Archaim HaKadosh and the Zohar notwithstanding. So it's Pashut, he's saying, that you can't kill someone unless they're deserving of death. Mikol makom harotzeh chayiv misa. Nevertheless, even though I can't kill someone unless they should die, if I do kill someone, I'm chayiv misa. Kumosh kasev Ramban, v'da v'avein ki ha'ish she'nechta v'nechtam b'rosh Hashanah la'riga lo yinake ha'listim ha'horeg oso b'avor she'asa ma'shenigzer alav hu rasha b'avono yamus v'damo miyad harotzeh chivukash V'adin lo harigas atzmo. In other words, even though Tosa says it's pashut that a person could kill themselves, Rav Chanan says, no, it's not true. You can't kill yourself unless you're supposed to die. If you do kill yourself, you were supposed to die, and you're held accountable for your own death. And he attributes this view to the Chovos al Vavos. The Chovos al Vavos says, She'ein biyad echad me'abruim lahoil es nafsho velo lazika velo lazulaso ki'im bershus habore yisborach. So whereas Tosfos understands this Gemara as implying that people do have freedom to harm themselves and they have the responsibility to protect themselves, the Chovos al Vavos, Rav Chanan, is not understanding it that way. It's interesting, how would he explain HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim U'Pachim? I would have thought that maybe if you take this approach, it means that, okay, but some extreme cases, you know, if you act negligently and you go out without a coat, then you get sick even though it's not part of the divine plan, though it doesn't even sound like they're accepting that. Right? Ein biyad echad me'abruim lahoil es nafsho v'lo laziko. So if you say it a little differently, right, the Gemara over here says you can't stand by a wall that's likely to fall. Why not? Tosfos says because it might fall on you and you might die. The Rabbeinu Bachya says either it's going to fall on you or not, because either you're supposed to live or die. It's just usher because there's a halacha that you're not supposed to stand by Malchum Sakana. There's a chiyav of ishtadlus. Okay, so that's this Gemara, an interesting debate, but I think more significantly, we have to put it within the perspective of Rabbi Hanina's other statements, namely that a person can, if they believe in Ein Od Melvado, they can't be harmed by others. Certainly they can't be harmed by Kishuf, and therefore what perhaps would be negligence for everybody else to hang around those mechashvim and taunt them is okay for someone like Rabbi Hanin. And again, maybe even in the realm of other types of sakanos. So, if that's true, so Rabbi Hanina seems to have a very robust position on hashkacha, at least for someone who truly has internalized that lesson. And not only that, but that might even impact their hishtadlus in terms of what they should do. But Rabbi Hanina, in statement number 4, says, okay, all that notwithstanding, when it comes to Bechira, clearly there is no hashkacha, kol bidei shamayim chutz mi shamayim. But then even that, in statement number 5, he seems to undo. So let's try to understand statement number 5, and then perhaps from statement number 5, we'll be able to go back and put all the previous 4 statements together of Rabbi Hanina. So the statement number 5, as I said, perhaps the most difficult of all these, we mentioned how the Rambam learns this. Reb Tzadok has a very fascinating understanding of this Gemara. Reb Tzadok talks about it actually in a number of places, among them, Tzidkas HaTzadik Os Mem. And Reb Tzadok starts off by asking a question. How could it be that Tshuva Me'ava causes Donos to become Schuyos? In other words, I understand how Tshuva can make Donos be forgiven, but how could they become Schuyos? In what way can Averos be considered Mitzvos? So there's a very famous explanation that, you know, if you learn from your mistakes, then you grow from them as well. But Reb Tzadok takes this a little more literally. And he understands the following, that from a certain perspective, and this is the perspective we've already discussed, the perspective of Ein Od Melvado, everything that happens is divine will. And nothing isn't divine will. A sorcerer can't harm you. Your enemies can't harm you. Everything is divine will. After all, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates everything and is the source for everything and is responsible for everything. And in fact, he quotes the Arizal, who addresses the question of the seeming contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. And the Arizal answers, it's in Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kesef, that the difference is that it depends on your perspective. Is there foreknowledge or is there free will? Are they a stira? So the answer is that on one level, everything is God. From a higher plane, the Arizal says that in the world of Atzilus, so everything is Biyad Hashem. There's no Schar Va'onesh. There's no free will. There's only Yediyah no Bechira. And the truth is, unlike the Rambam, let's say, and probably most Rishonim who say, somehow or another there is a resolution to the contradiction of divine knowledge and free will, the Arizal saying they're both true simultaneously on different planes. In the world of Atzilus, there's only Yediyah and there's no Bechira. From that perspective, there's nothing else. And we don't have Bechira. There's Yediyah. And on a lower level, in the world in which most of us inhabit, there's Bechira. We all feel free, and we are free in that world. And there's Bechira. In other words, resolution depends where. In one place, there's Yediyah. From one perspective, there's Yediyah. In the Olam HaTzilus, there's Yediyah. In the Olam HaAsiya, there's Bechira. That's the answer. Tshuva me'ava is when a person is makir, that there is nothing but God, and therefore even their sins are Ratzon Hashem, and as such, there's fundamentally in that plane no difference between Averos and Zchuyos. So Zdonos, Nasus, Zchuyos. In fact, Reb Tzadok quotes his Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, as saying that Tshuva hainu shemeshiv oso davar el Hashem Yisborach. Rotzalomer shemakir, shakol poel Hashem Yisborach, the kocho, afilu hamachshava terem neltzra belibo shel adam. It's taka, not you. And he says that's the pshat in the pasuk of mamrim hayisem im Hashem elokecha. What does it mean, mamrim hayisem im Hashem? That from that truer, higher, elevated perspective, mamrim hayagam kein im Hashem umimenu yatsu hadvarim. And he quotes a number of chazals that indicate this. Now, you could say that, so that means there's nothing but divine will, there's no freedom. So he's not saying that. We do have freedom because we don't live in that realm. And that's why you have to do tshuva. And Rav Kook, by the way, also embraces this ideology and really emphasizes this point. Rav Tzadok also says it, but Rav Kook really emphasizes it, which is that a person has to take responsibility for their deeds. And when they take responsibility and they do tshuva, then after they've done tshuva, they can be zocha to a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they could perceive retroactively that their avodos were really Ratzon Hashem. And that's the avoda of tshuva me'ava. Tshuva me'ava obviously is not an easy thing, right? Most people aren't zocha to tshuva me'ava. They could do tshuva me'ira, in which case perhaps they could be forgiven for their sins to some degree, but they're not nasos chuyos. In fact, Rav Tzadok explains that's exactly what the famous and perhaps infamous Ramban says in his explanation of the Seir La'Azazel. Ramban in Parshas Achrimos explains what's the pshat in the Seir La'Azazel. He quotes Chazal that it sounds like it's a karban to Satan. How could you say such a thing? As the Rav said about that Ramban, heaven forfend that we should offer a sacrifice to Satan. That's Avodah Zarah. So what's the pshat in the Ramban? The pshat in the Ramban is that on Yom Kippur, we can reach a madrega that we understand that even Satan is one of the avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He too sits at God's table. Hashem created Satan as well. It's not like Rahman al-Athan, there's a true force for evil. And while the rest of the year we fight Satan, on Yom HaKippurim, we try to tap into the reality of Einod Movado, and we include Satan in our Avodas Hashem, because we realize he too is an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We tap into that reality. We try to realize and appreciate Eino Mavado. Maybe that's not a Madrega that we can be on most of the year, but on Yom Kippur, that's the Avodas Hashem. That's what the Ramban says is understood by Reb Tzadok. So that's this idea of Rabbi Hanina. The idea of Rabbi Hanina, a very radical idea. And that, of course, is what this fifth source, this fifth statement of Rabbi Hanina, is telling us. The fifth statement of Rabbi Hanina is saying that, of course, it's true we have Bechira, but on some reality, on a deeper sense, it's also true, like the Arizal says, "B'makom ha-Bechira sham ein makom li'yadiya, u'v'makom ha-yadiya sham ein makom la-Bechira." That they're both true, seemingly they're contradictory, they're true in different planes, but the pshat is that a person can and has the ability to elevate themselves to such a madrega. And should they elevate themselves to such a madrega and truly believe and internalize, and that's not easy. That's tshuva me'ava, extraordinarily hard. The person who still thinks that, going back to our mashal, that, I worked hard and so that's why I got a good grade, is not living in that plane. But someone who can rise to that madrega of Rabbi Hanina can experience reality in the way that Rabbi Hanina says, which is Ilmale Shalosh Mikraos Halalu, Nismota to Raglam Shalsone Yisrael. And not only that, but as Reb Tzadok says, that is the basis for tshuva me'ahava. And as such, then these five statements really are all to be understood on one plane. And that's the basis of tshuva and Rabbi Hanina's power. So if we go back then and look at it from this perspective, so these five statements, Rabbi Hanina, are all very much related. We have the statement of Ein Adam Nokef Etzba'o Milamata Lemkei Machrizin Alav Milamala, which is a reflection of everything being B'gzeiras Hashem, from that elevated perspective of Atzilus or Eino Milvado or the like. We still have the responsibility, at least in this world, of taking precautions, at least in the world realm of Tzinim U'Pachim. But should someone believe in Eino Milvado, they don't have to worry about Kishuf. The concept of Hakol B'Dei Shemayim, Chutz Mi Shemayim is true on one level, the plane in which we live in, but also in a certain sense not true on a different level, on the level of Atzilus, as he says in the fifth statement, where everything is Biyat Hashem. Now, I know there are a bunch of questions, and I want to close with one Hara, and then I'll take your questions. You might not have your questions after I make this Hara, because in a certain sense, Rabbi Hanina is telling us that we have to embrace a certain type of contradictory reality that we can't really understand. And though on some level we're offering a resolution by saying this is true on Atzilus and this is true on Asiya, but we're also not really answering the question. It's not like the Rambam, it's not like Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon or the Rivash, who offer resolutions to the contradiction of Yediyah and Bechira. Somehow or another, they're both true. It's not like Rabbeinu Bachi or Rabbeinu Kreskes, who say it's a stira and therefore disregard one of the two. It's saying they're both true and they're both contradictory. Yeah, on different planes, but fundamentally that's true. And this relates to a interesting question, which is there such a thing as a seemingly contradictory reality in which both are true? Now, the truth is that if you ask me most days of the week, I'll tell you, no, there's no such thing. And there has to be a resolution. You might know the resolution. You might not be able to fully understand the resolution, like the Rambam says about Yedien Bechira. Ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, and we can't understand really how it's true that with respect to divine knowledge, there is no contradiction to free will, though it might be true with respect to human knowledge. You don't always have to have the answer to every question, but there is an answer. And that's certainly a mahalich. As I said, probably the more, among Rishonim, the more common mahalich. The interesting question is that sometimes perhaps, or certainly some thinkers, you'll see that the mahalich is much more about saying that there seems to be a contradiction and raising up our hands. The Maral in the second Taktam Tegvuras Hashem, which we quoted a couple of weeks ago, talking about how logic and contradictions are also a creation of God. Rav Kook certainly writes a lot about the embracing of the opposites. The truth is, just last week I was thinking about this in the Ramban. The Ramban writes that with respect to the purpose of mitzvos, so the purpose of mitzvos is l'tov lach, quotes the Pasuk in Dvarim, a number of Pasukim in Dvarim. They're for our benefit. God, of course, doesn't need our mitzvos. We don't benefit from his mitzvos at all. As the Pasuk in Iyov says, Im chatasa matifal bo, rabu pshacha matasa lo, Im tzadakta matitein lo, mam yadcha yikach. He lacks nothing. Mitzvos are entirely l'tov lach, for our benefit. At the same time, the Ramban says, elsewhere, that's true al pi pshat, al pi philosophy. But aliba de emes, on the level of sod, it's not so simple. Havoda tzarech gavoha. Somehow or another, we're able to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Po eshev ki ivisiha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires living amongst us. Taiva. The purpose of the world is for us to declare our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe there's resolutions, and maybe there's not. Maybe there are two planes of reality that we have to believe in both at the same time. We believe that he lacks nothing, and therefore mitzvos could only possibly be for us. But we also relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a way that, like the Mesil Sisharm says, a chassid is entirely motivated by trying to bring nachas ruach liotro, nachas ruach. If you look at Sefer Tanya, I think one of the primary themes that goes throughout the Sefer, it's a very hard Sefer, but on the one hand, the idea that there's nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't change one bit from before creation to after creation, Ani Hashem lo shinisi, as the Pasuk says in Malachi. That's what divine unity means. That in reality, before creation, there was nothing besides him, and even after creation, Ein od milvado, Ani Hashem lo shinisi. The creation of the world took place through Tzimtzum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's contracting himself to allow place for the world to exist, but Tzimtzum is just a mirage. Delo kipshuto. It's not really possible for there to be a space in which anything exists besides God. So on the one hand, we're told that the world exists because of Tzimtzum. On the other hand, Tzimtzum isn't possible because there's nothing besides him. How can both of these statements, which are paradoxical, both be true? Says the Alter Rebbe, a human being can't understand this. It's beyond our ability to understand. And so we embrace both doctrines, knowing that they both seemingly are contradictory. And again, that's the idea that you see in so many writings and so much of Avodas Hashem. On the one hand, our sensory perception of the world's existence is misleading. There's nothing besides him. Leis asar panui minei. There's no space without him. Or as Chabad would put it, Altz is God. And in reality, everything is batel before him. The idea that on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memale kol almin, kadosh, 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 Hashem tzvakos, melo chol ha'aretz kevodo, melo chol ha'aretz kevodo, literally. And that allows for a degree of imminence. And at the same time, there's also this transcendence, the higher aspect of divinity, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sovev kol almin, and he can't be a part of this world, and to the extent that he is, it would be entirely batel before him, the concept of yediyah yilah. And we're Ovid Hashem on both of those planes, on Baruch Kavod Hashem Imkomo, that type of transcendence, and also the imminence of Meloch Laretz Kavodo, the yediyah yilah, and also the yediyah tasa. And our avoda isn't necessarily to try to resolve these stiros, because we can't. We can't resolve the stira between Yediyah and Bechira. We can't resolve the stira between how Tzimtzum allows for the existence of the world, but Tzimtzum is not really Kipshuto. We can't really, maybe this is what Rabbi Hanina was able to do, but most of us can't really live in the world where we negate our own existence. So we don't fully live with that reality of Ein Od Milvado. But at the same time, to some degree, we can try to understand that concept. And the tzaddik can understand that concept even more. And maybe the tzaddik can, if he does, is protected. Agav, that concept that the school of the Nefesh HaChaim, that a person who believes Eino Milvado can't be harmed, though he doesn't use this terminology, it's fascinating, because the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says almost the exact same thing. He says that a person isn't subject to any type of teva to the extent that they're focusing on and thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, he writes, that's the madrega of the avos. The avos, even when they were involved in the mundane aspects of the world, were still thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore aren't subject to teva at all. And the truth is, since we're out of time, we'll close. I'll take your questions in a minute, but really that's the lesson, according to Ramban, of the nevuah at the beginning of this parsha. The nevuah at the beginning of our parsha, the Ramban says, Yaakov Avinu sees Malachim going up and down. And this reflects the fact that everything that happens on this world happens al yidei malachav. And they go down, they do their mission, they come up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done what you've told us, and everything in the world is shalom, or milchama, or whatever. V'nei anochi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top of the ladder, and he says, U'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech, v'ashtivosicha l'adama azos, ki lo azavcha ad asher asisi es asher dibarti lach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu that the truth is that I will protect you directly. You will not be subject to malachim. And this is an incredible madrega, because most tzaddikim don't reach such a level. As we say in Tehillim, ki malachav yitzav elach l'shmarcha b'chol derachecha. But with Yaakov Avinu, you're on a madrega of Hinei Anochi Holech Imach, Ushmarticha B'chol Asher Teilech. There's different madregos of Ashkacha, even for Tzadikim versus Yaakov, and certainly everybody else, and Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, which is why he experiences this nevuah right as he's about to leave. And one of the ideas that I guess I wanted to try to get across today, even if you think this is all very weird, is that even if these aren't things that we understand, it's something that at least to some degree we can know exists, and a person, even if they're not on that madrega of Rabbi Chanina, and as such, like the Gemara says, has to take precautions against kishuf or tapa or the like. Just knowing that there's such a madrega that a person could live on. Again, if you're not on that madrega and you try to live on that madrega, you're being somech al hanes, and it's usher. And whether you are going to get zapped because, since you're not on the madrega, you're subject to zapping, or just like Rabbeinu Bachya says, because you're going to get punished for not doing the proper hishtadlos, is irrelevant. The point is that you're chayv to do hishtadlos. And we don't live on the level of Rabbi Chanina. But to know, to understand, to perceive that there's such a thing is an extraordinary thing. And perhaps that's the idea that emerges from these five remarkable statements of Rabbi Chanina. Okay, I'll stop here. If anybody wants to ask questions, we have 1 minute. Or you could ask up front if you'd like. Have a good Shabbos. Tzaduk also says the exact, in other places, says the exact same thing as Rav Kook, that it's a progress. In other words, that it's only after you've done tshuva that you come to that hakara, that it was that way.
Right. I thought in Rav Kook it seemed more like the tshuva was playing once I do tshuva, then I'll be able to realize what was there all along, and more of like it's poel.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. But it's l'mafreya, even according to Rav Kook. Right. Tzaduk in one place gives a mashal. He gives a mashal, a crazy mashal, of someone who, a woman who was married, and she has an affair, and she is very contrite and remorseful, and then the person who, with whom she had an affair says, "No, it was me, your husband, all along." But that hakara that she has, as he says, only comes after she's gone through the process of tshuva. Some people think Rav Kook is not saying the same thing as Rav Tzadok. He's certainly a corrective. Same idea as Rav Tzadok, but I think if you look at some of the statements, he says it in a safer way. Yeah, but again, he says it's true retroactively. And the way Rav Tzadok says it in some places is exactly like Rav Kook. I just...